we're starting this year's festival by asking people to get all their complaints and misery off their chest. So the theme for this year's festival is Grow Happy. We want people to grow happy. And we thought, where better to start than asking people to complain, that we took all of those complaints, and with the Royal Irish Academy of Music, we've taken the individual complaints and we've converted it into song. And so on the 1st of May, we'll start the festival with choirs in Dublin singing out people's complaints and taking all that negative energy and transforming it into something more positive, which has set us up nicely for the month of the festival.
And what kind of complaints?
We've had everything. We've had people complaining about smelly snacks in cinemas, or how you can't get the coin out of the trolley. And also people complaining about, you know, more serious things, about the banks, obviously, and about the state of the economy. And so the choral piece that Conor Lennon has written is a proper piece of music. It's full of a bit of light and a bit of shade.
So it'll be something to cheer us all up. And
it is. I mean, it's obviously slightly tongue-in-cheek, but it's a really good way of taking all those things that we kind of keep to ourselves, we keep in our own heads, and that gradually grind us down, and just giving it voice and singing it out and getting rid of it, at least for the month.
Yeah. And what other things then are going to follow up? You've got a load of different things organised. What other things are following up?
Well, the festival's made in partnership, so it's an initiative agent opportunity. We build it collaboratively with 700 organisations. There's about 3,500 events across the country, so there's pretty much something in every parish and every townland. And the highlights that I'm looking forward to the theatre tour, The Man in the Woman's Shoes, which is going to 18 venues around the country. I'm looking forward to events towards the end of the festival, the Dawn Chorus. But I also like those events that are the smaller. They might only have, you know, tiny audiences, things that happen in care homes or in libraries, or that are really made for family and friends because people can.
Yeah. Do a lot of people discover new outlets when they retire? I mean, I presume that's also what it's about. You know, maybe somebody has never tried acting before or never tried singing before, and then suddenly when they retire, they discover this creative outlet. Yeah, that
there's many, many people who be able to reignite the spark or start something off for the first time. Many people who have a lifetime of experience and discover that they have some time or a passion for the arts or some time for themselves. You know, they can move letters around a page to make a poem, they can move lines on a piece of paper or paint or sculpt or dance, and it's a whole area of expression and time for yourself and socialising that you maybe don't have in the rest of your life.
Yeah. Do people sometimes fall into despair though with all this extra time, or are things like Veils not there to prevent that?
I think one of the great things about being involved in the arts is if you make something every day, at the end of every day you've made something. It sounds like a bit of a tautology, but it's true. So even if at the end of the day all you've done is rearranged words in a sentence, at least you've managed that. And sometimes if you do that for several days in a row, you've made a whole poem, and sometimes you will surprise yourself. But something else happens, which is that when you're fully engaged in the making of something, the rest of the time sort of passes you by. There's this extraordinary thing, great phrase that was coined by a guy called Gene Coyne, who said that art is like chocolate for the brain. And Gene Cohen was a medical professor, and he meant that the reaction of your brain to being involved in making something is just like the reaction of your brain to chocolate. It's soothed and it's calmed and it's treated, and yeah, it grows healthier actually. And so there is a medical background to all of this as well as...
Yeah, and because that's the whole theme of your festival, isn't it? Learning and growth.
Very much. So we're encouraging people to get involved in the arts in older age. We're also trying to challenge what we expect aging might be. Obviously people live healthier longer now, and we think we need to look slightly differently about aging, in that it's not just a time of things fading or falling away or becoming more fragile, which of course at some point it will be, but it's also a rich time of discovery. It's a vibrant part of your life.
Yeah, because we associate learning with growth for a certain period of time, but then we tend to associate further growth or aging, I suppose, with decline.
We do, and you know, there's no age limit on spiritual growth, there's no age limit on our capacity to imagine. And funnily enough, our capacity to imagine seems to get richer. We have more things to consider, we have more life experiences the older we get. And so one of the things I'm interested in as artistic director of Bealtaine is, what can someone with all of those life experiences tell the rest of us through the art that they make?
And if anybody wants to get involved, what's the best way of going about it?
Three really easy ways. Look out for the Bealtaine Festival programme, available through centres and libraries and art centres. go online or get someone to show you how to go online and go to bieltina.com, very simple, bieltina.com, or ring us on 01 853 5178.
And is there any age limit, or are you literally leaving it open to anybody who is growing and learning?
There's no age limit. We became a celebration of creativity as we age because we realised that we can't decide when old age starts.